It was a place to watch. For some, it was a place to wail. For some, it was a place to mock and sneer and snarl. For some, it was a place to rage. And for those in charge of this theatre of horror, it was a place to make a chilling statement about who's really in charge and who isn't. About who's got power and who hasn't. About who lives and who dies. About who holds the keys to death and hell. It's the death place, where the shattered rock and the strange caves suggest the black hollows of a human skull. Indeed, that's what they call the place. And these lifeless voids resembling the face of dead humanity stare blankly at these men nailed on crosses, seeing everything and yet seeing nothing. There they crucified him, along with these criminals, in the midst of these criminals, as a criminal. And the skull grins, as all skulls do. It doesn't know what they're doing. Does anyone know what they're doing? Well, these Roman soldiers do. Witness the ruthless efficiency. Observe the well-oiled machine of unquestioning obedience. Listen to the cruel lashes of their tongues, designed to achieve the psychological version of the bloody mess on Jesus' back. And time to gamble for a souvenir or two as well. If anyone knows what they're doing, it's them. They've made this crucifying thing into an art form. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. What is that? What is that? This one in the middle, this King of the Jews, they don't know what they're doing. What's he getting at? This thing's going along textbook. But these strange words are quickly dismissed, perhaps as the ramblings of a half-dead, self-styled, would-be superhero. And the skull keeps on grinning. For just like it, they really don't have any idea what they're doing. Death will one day swallow them too, along with all others who watch and hear. But suddenly, as a flash of brilliant light, the most timely of all light bulb moments ever, arguably, as a criminal, scum of the earth, fit only to be made an example of, and he's raging at Jesus, "Aren't you the Christ? Well, so what if he is? Oh, well then save me. Why on earth wouldn't you?" This isn't faith, of course. There's no faith in that. It's just someone else to blame for why he's ended up on this cross and why he will eventually die. And where you'd expect the perfect stereo effect on the other side from the other scumbag, no, there's something very different. There's a rebuke. Where did that come from? "Don't you fear God, since you're under the same sentence? We're punished justly, getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." This prime specimen of condemned and guilty human nature preaches truth and hope to this other prime specimen of condemned and guilty human nature. He sees more than that skull does. He sees more than anyone does on that day. He senses justice for him and injustice for Jesus. He reflects on Jesus' words, this plea for forgiveness to his Father. Who can that be? For his cruel executioners. He senses that something much bigger is going on. He senses that Jesus does know exactly what he's doing. He senses God. And he senses that while his death is moments away, his life might only just be beginning. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise. And with those stunning words, this foul place, the skull, becomes the place of hope. Not just where hope is most needed, but where hope is found. Right in the face of the blank stare of the death that will come to us all. If only that skull could change its expression. But this message is not for the dead. This message is for the living. This message is for you and for me. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He saved others by not saving himself. He saved them not from death, but from hell. He saved them from getting what their deeds deserve. To paradise. For that dying thief, today was the day of salvation. The guilty forgiven, the guilty set free. For every one of us here too, because of Good Friday, today is also the day of salvation. So do you know what you're doing today? Let's pray. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. We thank you for this opportunity to reflect on these monumental events so long ago. We thank you for the opportunity to think whether we know what we're doing. We thank you even more for the opportunity to be able to see very clearly that you know exactly what you're doing. You knew that all those years ago as Jesus died on that cross. And we know that Jesus also knew what he was doing. We pray that you will open us all up to what it was that you were doing, that we might know you as the God who has done everything needed to save a people for himself for endless glory to come, and to give them a hope even in a dark world, where we all stare into that skull, as it were, sooner or later. A hope that changes everything, not just for then, but also for now. Thank you, Almighty God, that you love us. We don't deserve it. We call it your grace. But it is love like no other. Amen. Please take a seat. We're just going to conclude our time reflecting thoughtfully on this amazing event that happened so long ago. You would have picked up that we try to be quite serious about it. It's a very serious thing, but it's a very, very good thing as well. And that is our deepest prayer for all of us here, and indeed, everyone in the communities that we live amongst, that they will come to know how good it is to know our God, the God who made us, the God who has died to save us. We're going to remember not just his death on this Good Friday, but on Easter Sunday we'll be gathering again. We've got actually a family service on Sunday, and it's one of our Lord's Suppers, just to reflect on, again, this great cross event. But we remember then that he didn't stay dead, and it means all the difference and makes all the difference in the world that he came back to life again. So please join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. But let's finish our time here by reflecting on a final scripture, 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body. That's what we've remembered just now. But on Sunday, we're going to remember and celebrate that he was made alive in the Spirit.
Have a very blessed Good Friday. Please stay around for some refreshments. Think more on these things. If you want to chat, then grab myself or one of the others you've seen up at the front, and we'd love to talk to you more. But otherwise, have a very good Good Friday.